Father, we thank you for the ministry of your spirit and of your word. We thank you for this atmosphere of faith, of revelation, of insight, and of power. We ask and receive the knowledge of your word much more in our heart. We ask that as we sit here this morning, every heart will be well schooled. We will grow in insight and clarity in our understanding of the things, the rights and privileges that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. We will grow in the understanding of the events, methods, wisdom, counsel, even the warfare and the victory that is found in Christ Jesus. We will see with precision this morning. We will receive with clarity this morning. We will receive strengthening, much more assurance, even as we receive conviction, and stability of our minds in the truth of your word. We ask this morning that you will cause everything that needs to be said, and whatever needs to be heard, so that all that needs to be received will be received. This we ask in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, so Ephesians chapter 6 is our text. So I'll do a fast job. Then as from next Sunday, we'll be going to look at the concept, the subject of honor. I have all. Hallelujah. Revisit honor. Just before a major turn of the year, we will receive teachings on giving, because I find that walking side by side with our emphasis on honor. Hallelujah. Okay. So look forward to that Sundays. Hallelujah. Well, Thursdays we have totally different. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Say, I am strong in the Lord. Say, I am strong. Church of God, say, I am strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. So it says, and in the power of his mind. So in rounding up our thought, we began to explain what it means to be strong. The believer's authority that is in Christ Jesus makes us strong. Hallelujah. That word key, being strong. Amen. Paul goes ahead in, he says how to be strong. He says putting on. He says put on. But in the originals, it should be rendered as putting on or keep putting on the whole armor of God. Now, I've been doing a word studies in the Greek for the past couple of days now, because I had to look into some text again, not for the first time, obviously, but again, while preparing notes, hallelujah, for pneumatology next year, hallelujah. So, I just saw a word, so I said, okay, I'm going to just pause everything I'm doing, I'm going to study the word. Hallelujah. That should be 7 Corinthians 2, then 6, and all that. So, but in the course of my study, I had to come over to this text again. And I observed a very kind of tricky thing in the use of the word all. Quite tricky. Hallelujah. That when the apostles, maybe not the apostles specifically, or peculiarly, hallelujah, maybe just all usage, that many times when we use the word all, it does not always refer to numbers. Hallelujah. I hope I'm able to communicate my thought. Are we together? You know, for example, I can say, I have 10. Are you with me?
And I say, I have 10 oranges in the basket. Bring all. What would that mean to you? How many oranges have I told you to bring? Sorry? 10, right? I have, to say, oranges Sunday morning. Okay, let's say Bible. Hallelujah. And I have 20 Bibles or 100 Bibles in the box. Bless you. I have 100 Bibles in the box. Then I says, okay, go bring all the Bibles. How many Bibles have I told you to bring? 100, right? Isn't it? So in that case, all is referring to what? All the number, right? But I also observe that all, many times, and that makes sense, that's true. So not just the apostles, that all could be used for, look at it, what we can call a value rather than number. For example, I put that same orange on the table. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? So I say, you go to the table and bring all the orange. Hallelujah. Oh, I say, cut me the oranges, bring all. Now, how many oranges have I told you to bring? In total, how many? You're not paying attention. One, right? 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 But I use the word all. In other words, all in this case means what? The whole thing, right? Right? The whole thing. So all could be used for numbers. All could also be used for what? Value, the wholeness of something. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Did you get my illustration? I'll bring it better to you next time. So, because when you see the word all, whole, which also implies all. Hallelujah. Paul was not referring to numbers, but he was talking about the value, the wholeness, hallelujah, of something. In other words, what we have is one thing. Now, look at me, church. Look at me. If I come to you, for example, and I use the word amor. I say amor. Now, you know the helmet is not in itself called an hammer. Are we together? Rather, the helmet is part of what we call what? An hammer. Are we together? So, when I say put on the hammer of God. Hallelujah. The armor is one thing. It's a set. One thing. So I said put on the whole armor. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In other words, if you are putting on the whole armor of God, or you are putting on the armor of God, it's not likely that I'm going to find shoes on you have the breastplate. Did you get me? It's not likely that I'm going to have, or you're going to have a shield, you don't have a sword. Then the armor is not complete, right? So we can call it armor. If it is armor and you're putting it on, what am I going to see? I'm going to see helmets, right? I'm going to see sword. I'm going to see I'm going to see breastplate. I'm going to see belt. And many other things.
Hallelujah. Your armor. Someone say armor. So, an armor is. Is that clear, church? Did you get what I'm saying this morning? For example, you talk about a soccer kit or on the field. You know, you have these jerseys, right? But that was it. That's not all, is it?
No.
You have a soccer boot, right? Then in the soccer boot, you wear what? You got a socks, right? Right? But you observe that the stockings and the soccer boot is not all they wear in the leg. You wear this front part, right? What do you call it? Okay. So you put on all that. Are we together? And that's what shows you are what? Ready to play. Is it clear? So that's the kind of picture I'm painting. It's set. And that set is so called because of the many things in it. Are we together? So when it says the whole armor of God. For example, Paul said in one place, hallelujah, to the church at Corinth. When he said, when I came to you, he said that our word unto you, hallelujah, our word unto you, where we came to you, was not yes and nay. Then Paul goes there, he says, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him are yea and what? Amen. Hallelujah. So where is this? All promises of God. Is it referring to many promises? Because the promise there refers to the singular thought of scripture. Are we together? So again, so there are times when you see the word all, and it does not refer to what? Several. Is it clear? It just refers to the whole body of something. Is it clear, church? Like the value. Are we together? Hallelujah. So, when Paul said to put on Ephesians 6:10, the armor of God, the whole armor. So again, he uses that, he gives us that idea or that understanding, and the word whole will not refer to many things, but what? The wholeness of something. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For example, you find in the Testament books, that's Isaiah. Isaiah, for example, spoke about hallelujah. Isaiah spoke about, for example, the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. And then some folks go read and say, oh, that means there are seven spirits. No, there are no seven spirits anywhere. Hallelujah. That word seven is the language. For what is what? Complete. Are we together? You know, that entirely changes whatever is to be taught from there, right?
help that brother. Are we together? Did you observe that? Did you observe that? When it is the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. So those spirits are some terribly mighty angels. I remember some years ago, someone told me, he says, those angels are the greatest of all the angels. After God, they are the next. He went on to say that when angels of God visit people, those seven ones don't. No, he said, when you see angels, nobody sees those ones. But Isaiah saw them. Hallelujah. He said, nobody sees those ones. He says, they reveal themselves. If you were you, will you not like those teachings too? Those things are very tinkered to the ears. Very, 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 I mean, very sweet. He told me, as you journey in God, you know, they have those phrases. You journey in God. You begin to engage the ministry of the Godhead. As you engage God, are we in a fight? Because the engagement, I know anytime I hear engage, what's on my head is a military trying to spoil a place. And they engage. And I grew up with some grammars from playing military movies. Games, rather. When you play games like Mortal Kombat, that's warfare, but you play other games like, you know, Virtual Cop. How do you know Virtual Cop? You know Virtual Cop? Played that game like 15 years ago. I still have it. I successfully carried the game through different hard drives. Hallelujah. You play military games. So when I hear engage, some things are just, it's today, but obviously when someone says, I did engagement, I know it's not it. Sometimes when I just hear engage, the very first thing that comes in my intuition is like to just engage him. Hallelujah. It says you engage God. As you engage God, it says you download. You download the mystery of the Godhead. In the horizons of the constellation of the stars, according to the order of events. You don't get it. You can't get it. We are too simple in our Bible study. Hallelujah. We are too simple. We can't get it. Amen. Amen. Said the deep things of God. They just run to a text that says the deep, call it to deep. So you must be deep to access some deep things. If I'm already deep, why do I need to access deep things? We are already deep now. Are we together? Say in the realm of the spirit, there are light and strings and sounds. Each sound has access to different light. So, for example, the keyboard is now. If your soul has not learned how to meddle with the strings of God, the chords, you know, Lucifer was made with those chords. Lucifer was made with those chords. So you must be a mystery. A mystery. You know, when they needed direction, they went to Elisha. Elisha said, get me a mystery. Those are the people that have exercised the strings and the cords in their spirit to align with the realms of God. So as you begin to play those things, you are making an inquiry. You begin to access the blockchain of God. Yeah. Just tell them, sir, you are Olodo Rabata. Even Jesus. If Jesus was sitting in your teaching meeting, Jesus would be like, Oye me. Jesus would be like, ah, sir, is it the same Bible? That is this concerning me? Oye me. Hallelujah. You see, as you journey in God, the cherubs, the four-faced cherubs, those are the different four heads are the different sides of God. They are the revelation of God. So as you are coming to the throne, you first of all see them. Then you must, that means that in your journey in God, you must have understood the many dimensions of God. That's where you can access the courtroom. His courtroom. The courtrooms of God. Hallelujah. You know what Peter said about such teachings? He said, it is not simple. Are we together? Peter said, God is logikos. Are we together? If you wrote membership class assignments recently, you should be able to relate more easily with that word. Exactly. Easy to understand. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So you don't need all those boogers, whatever. You must be circumcised. You must be circumcised. As you journey in God, He circumcises your heart. In case there's the unliving bread in your soul. My soul, unliving bread. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I always tell you that the moment you get a text of scripture wrong, you will lead people astray. Hallelujah. So, Bible study is not that difficult. It's you that you are looking for nonsense. Hallelujah. It's you that you want to hear what you have not heard before. And the moment you are preparing to hear what you have not heard before, you will go to where you have not gone before. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You don't want to ask your problem. You know, in those teachings, you can't take notes. What are you writing? You can't even re-preach it. You observe that. By the time you want to re-preach it, you will find you saying your own things. So he said, the seven spirits have taught me. Where are they? If you are not careful, you and the seven spirits, we will flog all of you. Call those seven spirits to come and sit down and write basic Bible beginners class test. All of them will fail. All of your seven spirits. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. They are simple. Just the Bible is simple. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, for example, so when you hear things like the seven spirits of God, that word seven there simply means language. It's used to, so it's not referring to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Are we together? It's just the wholeness of, it's talking about the expressions of the Spirit of God. Or we look at teaching the Spirit, we look at that. Are we together? I was telling someone, I said, why is Isaiah called the seven spirits of God? I said in Yoruba. Yeah, you're right. You just look at me and say, I said, pass this room. And the room was small. I said, all the seven spirits is within this room. He didn't know where I was going. That is not outside the believer. So you say counsel, you say wisdom, you say knowledge. Are we together? It refers to the move, the expression of the Spirit of God in the believer. Are we together? Look at this. It's like Paul in Galatians 5. He now says, He now mentions the fruit of the Spirit. How many do we count there? 9, right? We know it's 1, right? But we actually know that the fruits of the Spirit are endless. So he just listed, are we together? He just listed those ones. Because Peter will go to explain the same fruits of the Spirit, and Peter mentioned other things that Paul didn't mention. So the fruits of the Spirit will simply be fruit as many actions as the love of God. Are we together? We demonstrate in the life of a man. Fruit of the Spirit simply means the fruit of having the Spirit. Are we together? The resultant is having the Spirit. So what is the resultant effect of the Spirit of dwelling in a man? It will be meek. Are we together? Be patient. Is it clear? It will have suffering. Temperance. Are we together? Not temperamental. Temperance. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness. Hallelujah. Self-control. So, look at what Paul now said. Look at that text. Look at that text. Look at what Paul now said. Look at that text. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Look at verse 22. It says, against what? Such. There is no what? Against such. Against. What does it mean by such? Now you're referring to meekness, long suffering, goodness, faithfulness, and love. Expressions of love. He says there is no what? Law against it. Are we together? And observe, he's not talking about the customary law of your own city. He's talking about in the scriptures. The scriptures are not against expressions of God's life of a man. In other words, that was what the law, the Old Testament, are we together? Taught. The law here refers to the Old Testament. Law of Moses. Against such, there is. This is what the law to teach. Are we together? Are we together? Look at the same Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Just showing you something. Then we'll move away from here. Are you in 1 Corinthians 13? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. So, look at Galatians 5 again. Hold your hands there. Are you in Galatians 5? Now look at verse 22. What did he say? The fruit of the Spirit, what? Did he say are or is? Simple. Now, do you use is for plural? English student. Do you use is for plural? Some of us didn't pass English here. Do you use is for plural? They is here. The people is here. Hallelujah. These oranges is. These books is. Hallelujah.
Definitely no.
And observe the word fruit there was translated singular or plural. Just look at it. Just look at it. Just look at it. Singular. Did you see that? So how many fruits of the Spirit do we have? One. And it is what? Love. So what is the other things he mentioned? Expressions of love. Simple. So what will be the expression of love? He mentions what? Joy. Did you see that? Did you see that? What do you mean by joy? What's the relationship between joy and love? Does that mean that if I have the love of God, what do you mean by joy? What do you mean by joy? Look at 1 Corinthians. That's how you must learn to read the scriptures into each other. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Just flip your hand there. Are you there? Are you there? Look at verse 6. Read. But did you see that? So what's the joy in the truth? The truth of God. Did you see that? So it says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Some of us have confused joy with happiness. So when you see some Muslims and they are happy, you are like, so in your mind you are like, so it doesn't add up. He's talking about in the truth of God, in the work of God, in things of God. You rejoice to see the furtherance of the things of God. You rejoice when the will of God is being obeyed. You rejoice when the word of God is being acted out. Are we together? When the plans of God are furthering, you rejoice. So the joy of the believer has a focus. It has a root, it has a focus. Are we together? Are we together? So look at the next dimensions. Galatians 5. 22. It now says what? Peace, right? Right? Long suffering. Now when it says peace. Now, look at something. Let me show you something. Oh my God. Let me just show you something. Observe that joy. Are we together? We have explained joy as what you demonstrate. So it, look at this. Is the joy sitting or is flowing out? If we get to pneumatology classes, I'll build on that. Is the joy, look at it. Look at long suffering. The long suffering, is it sitting or flowing out? The gentleness, is it sitting or flowing out? You don't know what I mean by sitting or flowing out. I mean, is it just what you are enjoying within yourself, or is this with your relating with people? Thank you. The fruits of the Spirit deals with how you relate with. It's a Christian walk. Are we together? So when it says love, are we together? It's not saying what is your city in me. I'm enjoying love. I'm just enjoying the love of God. And I am blessed. I am useless to God. I'm just enjoying His love. No, it has to do with your relating with people. So look at it. In my relating with people, I will see meekness. Wait, are you relationship with people? You're with people. Did you see that? Did you see that? This is chapter 5 of Galatians, so Paul is dealing with conduct. Look at what he says in verse 25. What does he say? If we live in the Spirit, let us what? So your walk, does it relate with people? Look at verse 26. Provoking one another, envying of what? One another. Did you see that? Did you see that? What does it deal with in chapter 6, verse 1? If any man be overtaken, restore him. What does it deal in verse 2? Look into your Bible. Bear you one another's burden. Fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. If any man think. Number 4. Verse 4. Prove himself. Number 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that his thoughts communicate. Did you see that? So he's dealing with our relationship with people. So the fruit of the Spirit goes outward from us. Are we together? So go back to verse 22. When it says joy, does it go outward? Or you're talking about enjoying joy in your mind? Joy, 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 joy is my name. Joy in the Lord. Joy everlasting. Children, tell me what you have. Singing it in the house every Monday morning. No, it's talking about on that same Monday morning when you go to work, you have what? Activities of joy. So, look at peace. Will it also flow outwards? Or is what is inside? It doesn't mean that when you are born again, you will not be afraid. No. You will be afraid when there are things to be afraid of. Are we together? It doesn't mean things are out of control. But you say, the fruit of the Spirit is... No. It doesn't mean that you will always be... Cool, that is really cool. Sometimes you go to evangelism and they chase you. You will run. That's not peace. Are we together? Are we together? So when it says peace, look at it.
That peace again deals with your walk with people. Are we together? Your relating with people is what he explains as peace, the same as long suffering. So the fruit of the Spirit goes out. Look at it. Fruit goes out. Are we together? Are we together? A fruit doesn't grow into the tree. It grows out of the tree. Are we together? So it grows out. So it has to do with the expression. So he's saying the man who has the Spirit of God, these are the things we are going to find in his interaction with people. He says peace. Are we together? He says joy. He says long suffering. He says meekness. He says patience. You can't be patient with yourself. You're patient with people. Are we together? Are we together? So when he says, when he explains all this and he calls them expressions of love, that means the love, are we together, is the Spirit of God in expression. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God in the indwelling of the Spirit in expression is the fruit of the Spirit. So look at what he now does in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Flip there. So what is Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians 13? Hallelujah. If I have not love, so he's teaching love. Are we together? So what does he say about love? Look at verse 4. What does he say about love? Long suffering. Did we read that in Galatians 5? Did we read that in Galatians 5? So the long suffering, is it sitting in you or is flowing out? Thank you. So love flows out. Kindness, that's goodness we read before. Is it sitting in you or is flowing out? Does not envy. What does it mean? Does not vaunt itself. What does it mean? Is not puffed up. What does that mean? Meekness. So is meekness sitting or is flowing out? Flowing out. Did you see that? So the love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that love sitting or is flowing out? And when it's flowing out, this is what we will see. So it mentions joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, temperance, patience. Does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek our own, meekness, is not easily provoked, long-suffering, temperance, thinks no evil, rejoice in good, joy, hallelujah, bears all things, long-suffering, believe all things, faithfulness, believe all things should have been, believe all things does not mean you believe all things, so even if they lie to you, I believe. The Bible says we should believe what? No. It's better translated as believes the best. Are we together? Of everyone in every situation. That is love. That is what Galatians chapter 5 put as faithfulness. Are we together? Hope at all things. So you see, believing and hope, it's added together. It says endures all. Did you see that? Did you see that? So the fruit of the Spirit is. So this is what Paul explained as the fruit of the Spirit. And then, so, you know, someone says there's nine fruits of the Spirit. So someone say, oh, we have nine gifts of the Spirit. We also have nine fruits of the Spirit. Are we together? So you try to use rhyme. Don't rhyme anything. Are we together? Just teach the Bible. Are we together? What there is nine. I don't know another thing that is nine. If you find four, nine things, that, yeah. I observed a preacher was preaching and then. He went into a particular chapter and verse of some of the books of the epistles, and it was used to do revelation, something like Romans 4 verse something. You know, he now found another book that is 4 verse that thing that they talk about. It. He now found another book that is chapter 4 verse 6. That, so just everybody, all of you shut up. You go and pray now. Praise God. You don't need. You don't need such a... Are we together? You know, you find a congregation that they are lazy. That's why those things worry. They say, Ephesians 4 verse 2. The Bible says in Colossians 4 verse 2. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Galatians 4 verse 2. Revelation 4 verse 2. So what's 4 verse 2? Should we just leave the entire Bible looking for 4 verse? Genesis 4 verse 2. Psalms 4 verse 2. Job 4 verse 2. Eh? Philemon 4 verse 2. You go for verse 2,
Are we together, church? Are we together? We will now see 1:4 verse 2 that say, who are you? Hallelujah. Are we together? Just rid yourself of such sensational Bible moves. Bible revival. Sensational Bible revival. Are we together? And really, really sit down for Bible study. Is it clear? As an audience in my house, that was last Sunday, some of us, and I was telling you, the Bible study is such that whatever we find out, we are fine with it. You should not be afraid. Are we together? We should do away from dishonest Bible interpretation, but when we teach the Bible properly, whenever the Bible is properly interpreted, whatsoever is found, we are fine with it. That's what faith is. Are we together? So, it is when you don't want to do work that you will be caught up in such things. You go after strange teachings. You call them strange teachings. The 19th Spirit of God and all of that and all that. Let's say he has. Someone say he went to heaven and they counted those angels. And then they are, oh, they're father. Are you retarded? Hallelujah. Then he gave the number also. He gave the number. Then he counted all the angels. That some of them were going, they were in traffic. Then there was traffic of angels. So they were queuing in front of God. So each of them will bring what looks like. He said the technology is out of this world. That it looks like tab. That's what he said. He said it looks like tablet. But that was, there was a life all around there. What is up, what's up? But you know, you have to bring that to an audience that is, you know, if you come to service like this and you hear someone like that, say, I'll just be bored. Or when others are serious, you just see me laughing. Because, well, we don't have those comedians on our pulpit. But I mean, pastor is taking the position of a comedian this morning. I just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Hallelujah. As of these, when I want to laugh, I just listen to. Amen. And someone say, do you know why it is called AM? It says AM. Do you know why it is called AM? All of you are looking at me. Do so you know? You are looking at me. This is why it's called AM. When you say 5 AM, do you know why it's called AM? Because God told Moses. He says, I am. God said, I am. I am. That was what was, you know, oh God. Even I just said, don't worry. I just wish that after the service, he calmed down and listened to himself again. I didn't really believe it until I saw the name there, Prophet something. I said, the church. I think it was a comedy. He said, the reason why it's called AM is where God said, I am. So he says, in the morning, that is where God is. I said, AM is anti-meridian. In geography, then we explain that. So why is it PM? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's look at our authority, Jerry. Let's look at our authority. Hallelujah. Alright. Took some time on that this morning. So he says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor. So when it says whole armor, hallelujah, is used for the armor. So you don't have to use the whole. Are we together? The armor is already what? Complete. Whole. Is it clear? The armor is already whole. It can't be called armor if some of those things are missing. So put on the whole armor of God. So we can see by using that word whole, I think this translator just wants have our mind fixed on the fullness of it. But the armor is already old. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. So he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and gifts for us, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against which are wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Hallelujah. So we said the armor of God is for you to be able to stand. Hallelujah. We said that word stand. Are we together? That word stand means to maintain your ground. It does not mean to survive. It means to thrive. Hallelujah. Means to make advancement. It does not deal with survivor. Are we together? Survivor is part of it, but it's not limited to just surviving. It means to thrive. Say, I thrive. Do you know what it means to thrive? Do you got it? It's like I see a set of crops. So I put an unfavorable circumstance, wheat. Let's say I put chemicals on it. So I expect it to what? To die, right? Then suddenly they begin to grow faster. So that has gone beyond survivor. That's thriving. Are we together? So it says the positions, when it says we wrestle, and then it didn't say we wrestle alongside with principalities of power. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? We wrestle alongside with. It says we wrestle against. You must know who your opposition is, so you don't go score own goal. Are we together? Are we together? Say, I don't score own goals. Aha. You know own goals. After the match, they're going to sit you down. What happened? So they set up a private investigator. Go and investigate that. They have paid him. Are we together? That's why he scored in his own net. Amen. So I don't score own goals. I must know who or what the opposition is. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You also must know, are we together? Who fighting or wrestling alongside with. You'll find some Christians who are pitched against other believers. You are a fool. Sometimes you find some churches and they are pitched against some other churches. Don't have more now, but that's foolish. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Someone he said, no need fighting churches. He says the sky is so wide and the birds don't hit each other. That's true. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Say, how is that church growing? How is that church growing? To plot against the growth increase of the other church. You are foolish. You are scoring what? Own goals. Say, I don't score own goals. When we see, are we together? Advancing in the word of God. Is it clear? We thank God for them. Hallelujah. Say, I don't score own goals. So you are not preached against believers. Don't say that woman that is selling something in front of looking at her. I'm always looking at her. She will bring her Bible and sit and be doing as though she's praying. I know she's presentation. She will bring her Bible and be will now put her glasses. She doesn't know I'm inside looking at her. She's not looking at her Bible. She's looking and counting my stocks. She's counting my footstep. I just observed that people were not coming to me again. People were going to her. The mountain. I celebrate grace in this house. The anointing oil that say we should buy. That day I now close late. I close late. As she has gone, I sand where she stepped. I eat. I the anointing oil. I together. That day I shop burnt. You should be in hell. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's too harsh. But you should go to prison.
Hallelujah.
That is foolish.
Are we together, church? You are scoring what?
We are not pitched against people.
Not on our talk of belief.
See, I know the reason why my business is not going well is because of that those people. That's why my business is not going well. No, you are being foolish.
Are we together, church? Believers, you know, when we say, do you know the meaning of format?
Something should be formatted off some believers' heads. Or format it. If a surgery could have done it, just organize surgery. 15-hour surgery. Oh yeah, remove that thing. See this black tissue. That's what is causing them to think nonsense. Remove it. Put a white one there. So you just wake up from the bed and say, you are now holy. You say, I think the world. I think the world. Oh, I love. Wow. Bless you. What happened? You went for a surgery. Interestingly, there's no surgery that does that. But the teaching of God's word is the surgery. Are we together? So you are being foolish. Just wake up. You had a nightmare. Just wake up. Say, I saw Pastor so and so. He's the one that is after my destiny. I saw him. He was planting something in front of our house at the cutlass. Look for it. It is there. You are being foolish.
Hallelujah.
See, I'm above all. When you are above, you don't need to meddle with something. Is it clear, church? But the Bible makes us to see that our wrestle, the warfare, the believer's warfare, is not against people. Is it clear? It's not against people.
Hallelujah.
Every strong man of my father's house. Every man that is born of a woman. Who is not born of a woman? Who is not born of a woman? Are you also not born of a woman? Every strong man in my father's house. You see, within that prayer, and you think you are talking to God. You're not talking to God.
Hallelujah. Are we together? You're not talking to God. You are not different from someone who wants to have a conversation with another person in his office and just goes and stands by the wall and is talking, and after he's done talking, he just leaves. You think you had conversation with the owner of the office? No.
Hallelujah. My noise is making noise. My gen rather is making a noise around the office. You want to talk to me? You just go and stand by the gen. Then you talk. You talk to the gen. Even the noise of the gen does not even allow anybody. Then you think, Mutibasoro. No, you didn't talk to me. You just wasted your time. And that's what sometimes some people do in prayer. They are wasting their time. You are told to go and pray 1 hour.
Hallelujah.
Look at me. The prayer is not the 1 hour spent. Prayer is what you said in 1 hour. So if you said the wrong things,
you just did exercise. Did you get what I'm saying?
We need to start having prayer sessions, not complaining sessions.
Some people saying things like, oh God, don't let the world say, where is my God? You think you are talking to God?
So you think God is moved?
Ha! It's true. It's true. You are just joking. So,
Jesus Christ will say, ha! It's true.
Michael! Michael!
What me by?
No, damn, I'd right. Hallelujah. The things you see and how you see is prayer.
Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. 1 hour, oh God,
that's not prayer.
Are you with me? Look at it. Jesus likened a prayer. Are you with me? We're going to teach on prayer soon. Jesus likened prayer to a man going to the court and placing an argument before the judge. He said, that is how prayer is. So that means you don't go to the place of prayer without a desire, without facts.
Are we together? What I just said now, does it help you?
He likens prayer to what? Going to the what? The law court and presenting a case before what? A judge. Are you with me? Look at me. Look at me. That means when a believer prays, are we together? The believer is standing in the place of what? A barrister. A lawyer. That means we have to understand the issue, understand the desire. Are we together? And faith that you are going to be heard. You go and you present the case to the Father, earnestly desiring be answered before you. That is prayer. That is the only reason why somebody can be there for 5 hours, but your own 5 minutes. Your own is 5 minutes. Your own is just 50 minutes. In 50 minutes, you're ready to wave of the sea. That's the reason why someone can be there for 12 hours. We're having a prayer session over us, and we are praying for the nations of Africa. And we are telling God, plan. Your son came, he died. This is what is happening in Tanki. This is what is happening in Ilori. This is what is happening. In that same prayer, what happened in your last outreach? Then you take time. So you are praying. It's a discussion, yes. Because in that time you are discussing. In that time you are fellowshipping. Are we together? In that time you are doing this. So when you say prayer is fellowship, prayer is this. It's not because that's what prayer is. Are we together? But because in prayer, that is also being done. Are we together? Are we together? But in the real sense of it, prayer is taking advantage of the willingness and the power of God to get something done. So you can't have 1 hour to pray and be saying rubbish. Oh Lord, my glory that the world has taken away. Ogo, is it bread?
Is your glory bread?
I had one.
That is your glory. That one stupid bed can just carry and lift away. You know, you have really good.
sell or deal with jewelries or ladies. You know, it's really heavy, right? I'm not sure, but it's heavy, right? I mean, the weight is different to I don't know or whatever. Am I saying rubbish? You know, you guys are looking at me now. What does this person know? But I think the weight of a real gold usually tells in together. Are we together? Or the quality of a real gold usually tell maybe in its way. But I've seen metals that this is just panda. So maybe that's where your glory is. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he say, Ogo me, tayi tigbi lo. You are dreaming. Jesus is like onda. Hallelujah. So prayer, for example, are we together? I'm talking about all this because it's part of my notes. And I will wield that armor. Are you with me? Say, I'm complaining, say, I have prayer. That's it. Prayer sessions. Let's pray for 1 hour. Just 1 hour. To pray, 1 hour. Like, you need like 8-9 hours to pray every day. So he now says, pray 1 hour. That means I can't afford. You are now saying rubbish. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So nothing happens. Because when you stood and you were praying, you were lying. There's nothing lost. There's no whatever. There's no bed that carried your glory away. Is your glory what is this thing that to babies is in this what's it called, in this sachet, cheese ball, glory cheese ball. Is your glory cheese ball? You know that cheese ball is something useful. When you put it, you are immediately alive. I just observe that there's nothing useful in this thing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you have prayer sessions. Amen. I said amen. Not complaint sessions. So you don't pitch, are we together, against fellow believers. In fact, he says that our warfare is not against humans. And that's the truth. Are we together? He says, but against what? Principles and powers. Rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high. So he talks about the forces of evil, activities of Satan amongst men. He says that is our warfare. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So our warfare, so he says our warfare is not against people. Because when we fight or we are at war, are we together? In the course of our warfare, rather than lives being destroyed, lives. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Lives are saved. People are saved. It's a warfare. So, he says, be strong. We said it means to be courageous. Then, Paul now spoke about your loins. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We said that refers to the word of God, right? Where? On my mind. Say God's word. On my mind. So we said the word of God on your mind always is an armor. Maybe when you hear that, you will treat Bible studies differently. I made an emphasis. I said the one who is properly taught, grounded in the word, is more effectively armed. Hallelujah. The word of God on my mind, God's word on my mind, we said, is an armor. God's counsel, God's word, always filling my mind, or always fill my mind filled with the word of God. My mind filled with the word of God is an armor. It's a clear church. The next thing Paul mentions here, he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. We said, he said in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 20, Ephesians 4, verse 24, he says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So righteousness here talks about who you are. Are we together? Are we together? Paul also explains the righteousness as putting things right, because that's the meaning of righteousness. Putting things right. So the believer identity from his ministry also, and also receives a ministry from his identity, is vice versa. Our identity in Christ has brought us a ministry. Are we together? Are we together? And our ministry and responsibilities in Christ, amen, has also brought about our identity, how we are described. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. So righteousness is who you are and also what you do. Does that make sense to you now? Does that make sense to you now? When Paul says 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God in that text would refer to how we make things right for God, or how God makes things right through us. In the context of 2 Corinthians 5, it deals with the preaching of the gospel. We therefore are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did besiege you by us, we pray thee in Christ's stead. What we pray, not we pray thee, we pray in Christ's stead, be thou what? Reconciled. Be ye reconciled unto God. Hallelujah. So, the reconciliation of the world to God through the word of reconciliation, verse 18 and 19, the message of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, hallelujah, the work of God through the reconciliation, or the work of God rather, through the preaching of the message of reconciliation, is called righteousness. How are we making things right? God, by in his word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when it says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's talking about the preaching of the gospel. As we preach the gospel, God is making things right on the earth. So it says we are ambassadors for Christ. We are preaching the gospel. We are the righteousness of God. Are you with me? We are ambassadors, representatives. Not replacement, representatives. So as we preach the word of reconciliation, as we engage in the ministry of reconciliation, we are making things right on the earth for God. Or God is at work on the earth, just like God was at work in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God is also at work through you. I've been reconciled to Christ Jesus, and I've received the mystery of reconciliation. God is at work through you and I by making things right on the earth. So he says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So righteousness is refers to both who you are, are we together, based on what God has done, based on the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. What God has done in the believer is called righteousness. Also, the fruit of that resurrection is the ministry, the responsibility, the service of the believer. Hallelujah. In that gospel to the unsaved. Are we together? And by preaching that gospel to the unsaved, he is also called righteousness of what? Of God. Did you get it, church? Did you get it, church? So righteousness is both who I am and what I do through the ministry that is in Christ Jesus. Is that clear, church? Is that clear, church? I said, is that clear? So when he says the breastplate of righteousness, it simply means to put on who you are in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness refers to who you are in Christ. It refers to your nature in Christ Jesus, the new creation which is in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, that is found in Christ Jesus. And then he also speaks of the preaching of the gospel, your responsibility that is found in Christ Jesus. So truth is in the gospel. Ephesians 4:21. Ephesians 1:13, because the gospel, the message of truth, hallelujah, the message of righteousness. The message of righteousness. So, breastplate of righteousness means who you are in Christ. Then the next thing Paul says in Ephesians 6:14, he says, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The word feet there, amen. I said amen. Yeah. The word feet there, when it says your feet shod, hallelujah, that word feet or your feet is the word pous in the Greek, P-O-U-S, pous, which is used for a footstool. It speaks of where you stand, but is also used for activities. Is used for submission also. We're not going to all that text now, because we've done that. Hallelujah. Having said, be watchful with the truth. Take a position, a consistent position, where you are not careless. Rather, you put the word of God on your mind, and you wear it as an identity, breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. He says the believer has the power to keep on godly desires of his heart. Hallelujah. So in verse 15, he says, your feet shod with the preparation. So this is what he has to say about it being shod. Preparation, the word etoimasia, I've explained that word to us, which has to do with preparedness or obedience. Etoimasia speaks of what is inside. What is inside? So when it says your feet shod with the preparation, it gives us an analogy of a soldier, hallelujah, I said hallelujah, that has his feet shod. So the boot has to do with movement, motion. Are we together? Motion. But he says that motion is the preparedness to preach. Hallelujah. Your feet shod. Evermore. Your feet has to do with what? Right? Are we together? Then when he says with the preparedness, he uses a word, etoimasia, which has to do with an internal readiness. Hallelujah. So look at this. Your activity as a believer in warfare, your motion, are you listening to me? Has to do with heteroimasia, an internal preparation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Your feet, short feet, used for activity, obedience. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For example, when Martha in Luke 10, or Mary rather, was said to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, it only means he was sitting at the carpet. Sitting at the feet of Jesus means she was found in submission to Jesus, learning the word. Just like the other. Someone is sitting at the feet of a master. It doesn't mean he's stool and is lying there. Are we together? Rather, it refers to what? It refers to learning, submission. Paul in Acts 26 was told to have learned the law at the feet of Gamaliel. Now Gamaliel was a owner of a law school. Are we together? Are we together? A reputable Pharisee. Are we together? Who trained many people in the law of Moses. Are we together? Are we together? So Paul had learned at the feet of Gamaliel. It doesn't mean that Paul was sitting at his legs. Are we together? It simply means that Paul was in submission for those number of years learning. Are we together? The law in his school. That's at his feet. So it means one you are submitted to. That's the meaning of feet. Another place where you see feet, 5. When he says, Acts 5, particularly in Acts 5, that the church, especially by Barnabas, that they will send the proceeds to what? Again, it does not mean that the apostles and money was brought to their legs. It simply means the money was handed over to the treasury that the apostles had what? Instituted. Are we together? That resources must come into. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do something in obedience of another, or to do something in submission to another, it means to be at that person's feet. It's used for submission. So when it says your feet shod, it refers to activities of obedience. Activities of submission. Hallelujah. Your feet shod, it now says with the preparation. Preparation, so he uses the word etoimasia, which has to do with his inside and internal preparation and internal work. We see a similar word in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, which has to do with an internal preparation. So he said, when I receive you unto my, I'll receive you unto my shop. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So it has to do with inside. Something like to create a desire in my heart. So, a desire, an internal readiness, hallelujah, to carry out an activity. A desire, an internal readiness, pay attention. A desire, an internal readiness to carry out an activity. Are we together? Is what it means by your feet short with the preparation. Your feet short with the preparation speaks of what? A preparedness, an obedience, an internal desire to carry out an activity. An internal readiness to carry out an activity is what it means by what? Your feet short. Are we together?
Are we together?
So the question is, your feet shod with what? With what? Preparation of what? Of the gospel of peace.
Are we together?
In other words, the activity is the preaching of the gospel. So my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means I am always ready internally.
Hallelujah.
I have an internal readiness and submission to always preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
So the readiness, the aptness of the believer in preaching the gospel is also called one of the armor.
Hallelujah.
The believer's authority, therefore, we said before, is for the believer not to be overcome, as he takes a stand with the gospel of Christ, not to be overcome. Then he says, part of that armor is your ever readiness to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to win people over into the ministry of the gospel.
Are we together, church? Are we together, church?
Look at the next verse. It says, what does it say next? What does it say next? Above all, he says, taking the shield of faith. Now, when he says above all, you know, it doesn't mean, are you with me? He didn't say taking the shield above all. He said above all, taking the shield. Now, you know you don't hold a shield and put it on your head. Right? Right? So, he wasn't referring to the position of the shield. Isn't it? Isn't it? It. At the same time, when he says above, he wasn't saying upon all this. Rather, it simply means in the midst of all this. So above all, he's not saying this is superior. Rather, he's saying in the midst of all this, add faithfulness, the shield of faith.
Hallelujah.
Faithfulness to what? What's the first thing we mentioned? Please look into your Bible. That's how to participate in the meeting. Ephesians 6 is where we are. So what's the first thing we mentioned? Can people open their mouth and talk? What's the first thing he mentioned? Verse 14. Loins gathered with the truth. We said that is what? God's word, on my mind. Did you see that? So he says faithfulness in that. Faithfulness in that. What is faithfulness? Consistency and persistence.
Hallelujah.
Consistency and what?
Persistence. In good conscience.
Having the best way of righteousness. That's who you are in Christ, right? Right? Based on what Christ has done and what? What he's doing to you. That's the best way of righteousness. Consistency in that. Persistence in that. Faithfulness in that. So in the midst of this, hallelujah, The shield of what? So he says, faithfulness is like a shield. Are we together? Look at what it says you will do through faithfulness. It says, wherewith you shall be able to quench. So faithfulness is an ability. Hallelujah. It's an ability supplied of God. So look at me, church. Look at me, church. Hallelujah. All eyes on me. Look at this. The faithfulness of the believer in his work and ministry is also supplied of God. Are we together? Is also God's what? Supply. So he says, put it on. He says, you should use. So look at it. You are only making use of something. So there's nothing like otitan. That's boy. I should have spoiled. You have received too many arrows. That's spoiled. Nope. And look at that. He says, with which you shall be able, wherewith you shall be able to quench. That means this shield has the ability to quench. Hallelujah. The fiery dart. Ephesians 6, 14, 15, 16 of the wicked. It says, with which you shall be able to quench. So, alongside with the shield, the believer is able to what? To quench. The shield is able. Someone say able. Dunamai. Able. Inherent ability. Able to quench. The word quench, the word zbenomi in the Greek. Zbenomi is spelled S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I, which means to extinguish. It means to put out, look at it, an ongoing fire. To quench the fiery dart. That means you are able to extinguish. You are able to put out a fire that is already hot. Are we together, church? Are we together? That word dart, you look at Matthew 12 and then verse 20. In Matthew 12 verse 20, glory to God forevermore. In Matthew 12 and 20, it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. So quench there means to stop something. It was used in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, three times. Mark 9. In verse 44, verse 46, and verse 48. Verse 44. He says, in verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be what? Quenched. Did you see that? So you see that word quenched used. Fire that shall never be quenched. It means never be put off. Hallelujah. So quench means to overcome and put something out. To put out the fire. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Verse 44. It says, where they are warm, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Did you see that? Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Same 4 times. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with 1 eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into what? Into hell. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not what? Quenched. So you see, quench means to put out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the spirit. It means to not put out the fire, which refers to the flow of the things of the spirit. Hebrews 11. In verse 34. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the alien, quenched the violence of fire. By the Spirit of God, Paul the Apostle is saying, their believer, there's an ongoing fire. There's an ongoing fire in your affections. One, what's the second one I give you? Can you open your mouth? What's the second one I give you? Oppositions. There's an ongoing fire. Hallelujah. As your desires. There's an ongoing fire as opposition to the gospel. Afflictions and persecutions. What's the third one I gave you? Forsakings. There's an ongoing fire as, look at this, a false handling of the information contained in the books of the Bible. Was the first one I gave you? Can I hear something? There's an ongoing fire as ideologies flying about in the world. Philosophies of science, anthropology, archaeology, together. Are we together? Technology, name it. Mysticism, spiritism, that seeks to explain away the reality of the scriptures, or the realities in the scriptures, the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10. So we see 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, philosophies, hallelujah, of men. Are we together? We'll see Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, and let me look for a text again that falls in 1 Corinthians 9, desires. Are we together? There is false doctrines. Are we together? Are we together? These are explanations proceeding from the scriptures, but not the scriptures of early thoughts. And then there is opposition. It is from these sources, there's an ongoing fire. Fired at the believer. Targeted at the believer. Are we together? But he says, look at this. The armor of God is for you to what? To what? To make progress in the midst of all that. The armor of God is for you to stand. We said that stand doesn't just have to do with survival. It has to do with what? Thriving and making progress. The kingdom of God making a progress despite all these things. The armor of God. That means that the believer is born into an atmosphere of persecution. You're going to be unlearned or foolish to not acknowledge that. You're going to be unlearned or foolish to not acknowledge that. Say, I'm not unlearned. I am smart. Say, I say I'm not unlearned. Say, I am intelligent by the Spirit of God to recognize the atmosphere where I've been born. That's it. And God wants you informed. Me more? No. And God wants you informed that the man in Christ, the believer, has been born into an atmosphere of contrary desires. Hallelujah. An atmosphere of a world that seeks to take advantage of desires to lure you away from God's plans and purposes. He says, but you must take a stand. The believer has been born into an atmosphere where you see explanations coming out from the scriptures but are not properly explained. And you expect them to take a stand. I missed it all. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at this. The very first thing I must note, jump ahead of my note, is that God knows them. One. Two. He has made a supply by the Spirit. Three. He wants you informed and intelligent. Number four. He works in you to prevail. I'll take that again. Number one, God is aware. Number two, He wants you aware and intelligent. Number three, in that intelligence is that He has made a supply of the Spirit. So I rearrange my thoughts. Number four, and also in that supply of the Spirit, He works in you to make progress in the faith. So where is discouragement? It has no place around you. Say, discouragement has no place around me. Say, I have the shield of faith that is found in Christ Jesus. The man in Christ is equipped to stand strong by the Spirit. So we are not fighting, are we together, with the devil in a fight that the winner is yet to be determined. So we are trying to determine who will win. No. Far no. There's a victory already that is in Christ Jesus. And the believer takes his stand based on that work and charges ahead in the course of life and ministry. Praise the Lord. That is the believer's authority. Preparation to preach the gospel, he says, is also in that armor. So you have, he says, you must stand. So you must not be shocked or forced to change. I mentioned some of them this morning, right? This is where I was going. Are we together? You also must not be shocked of afflictions because of the gospel. Are we together? You also must not lose guard concerning your desires and goals and dreams and ambitions. And never let them stand in the way. Are we together, church? And lastly, you must also maintain your guard and not be shocked. Look at it. About the depth or the extent, the width, the length. Of the reasonings of this world. Sometimes you hear some explanations, you are like, just to prove there is no God, you went into all this. So don't be shocked. Fanciful, attractive explanations. Are we together? Are we together? Say, I don't care. I meet a lot of atheists every now and then. They already know where you are going. So prove there is no God, you are a foolish man. No, how dumb can you be to still breathe? You should just stop breathing because you are so dumb. Just say, we'll breathe more. You sit here with breath in your nostrils to say that the one who created you does not exist. You have tumbled over and over and over in your school of thought. You just did not know. You are wounded all over. So it doesn't matter. Is it from philosophy? Is it from science? Is it from history? Are you bringing from history? Is it from this? Is it from... Name it anything. I'm not sure. By then you have landed. We engage you. Are we together? Are we together? I remember that was it last week in the rain. I engaged a lady. I preached the gospel. She just asked a very fundamental question. And for a second I just say, wow. Where do I start from? I mean, that was the wow. That was why the wow was there. Where do I start from? I'm going to pick up the gospel. I mean, just pick it up from... It just went deeper. I said, whoa. So where did I start from? Say, why did God even create me? That was the question. Say, why did he even create me? Say, I don't want to exist. That's what she said. So you should say, ha. That's what she said. He said, I don't even want to exist. I said, whoa. So let's pick it up. Let's say, I thought I was at the ground level. Then she showed me, well, there's something lower than that. Okay, we'll go down again. Then she asked another question. I said, wow. Again. Say, why did God even create man? Say, why did he even leave everything the way it is? Why did he create man that now messed up, that now why start the process? I said, okay. And I came down. Origin of the earth. I've not taught you that. Are we together? Okay, so down. You know, you can't start saying that actually heaven is not a planet. You can't start. He said, just leave me where I was. So I said, where were you? He said, I don't know. Anywhere I existed, anywhere. Just leave me. And that was the background. Now,
One way or the other, she agrees God exists. And there is a God. And then there is a God who is interested in the affairs of the earth. But look at this. That conversation, I picked up that conversation. I couldn't get her saved. Interestingly, she attended church. I mean, all the whole family, everything, church. So she just came into this city and then stopped. So she now had to, because we went into some conversations that led her into digging some. So she went down there. So I said, "Are you born again?" She said, "I don't believe in none of those things. I don't believe in all this. Are you a Christian?" She said, "No, I'm not. I used to go to church, but you know, if it's those things that you call church, say I did it when I was, but now, several years now, there's nothing there." Okay, not born again. But you have to pick that conversation. So sometimes you get into conversations with people, and not just people on the street. You know, some people, you just meet them on the street and then you just involve them in the gospel very casually. But there are some other people, maybe they are friends or companies or, you know, family friends or colleagues. And then it's conversation. In conversation, that is when you really dig deep into what is in their heart. The things they doubt about the faith. So sometimes when you see how wired human brains can go, the network, the brain, they can. Is this what is happening in the sponge in your head? Because it looks like sponge. It's okay, no problem. That's why we do all these things we are doing. There are some people you can never disciple or even get saved without this attitude of Bible study. You're doing all the horizon and the constellation and the stars and the seven spirits of God and the mystery. You get you nowhere. You get you nowhere. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So look at that. And you must not be shocked. You must maintain that preparation of the preaching of the gospel amidst the ideologies of the world. Glory to God forevermore. So he says that there is a strength, a walking of God in the believer to put out that fire. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. To put out that fire. The word fiery. When it says fiery dart, that's the word flaming. Flaming. It is the word pro. Hallelujah. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and then in verse 9. Paul used it in 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 9. The word pro. He says, "For I would," verse 9 rather, "but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn." The word burn there means flame. It's used for flames. It's used for passion. Passion. In 2 Corinthians 11, and then in verse 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 27. "In weariness, in painness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and fast and thirst." It says, "in fastings often and cold and nakedness." Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In weariness, in painness, in watchings. In verse 28, beside those things which are no. 27, he says, "in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robber, perils of my own countrymen, perils of heat, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils of among false brethren." There is a word puro hanging somewhere here. Up 29, thank you. He says, "Who is weak?" 29 actually. He says, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not?" It means to flame. Flame. It's used for passion, burning zeal. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, I think. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 and then in verse 12, "looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." That word fervent heat, the word fire, is the word puro. The word puro, one of those words. I didn't know the one of those words. Revelations 1:5, Revelations 3:15. Let me see, it wasn't Revelations 1:5. Yeah, Revelations 1:5 gave me 1 Peter.
Hallelujah. Revelations 1:5. He says, Revelations 1:5. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Let me see. 1:15. Missing my text again. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. So what is flaming? What is flaming? Hallelujah. So it says, fiery what? That. That word that is the word bellows. It's used for spear. A spear. Is used for a missile. Fiery spear. Missile. It says, the opposition of the gospel. It's not tea party. Either in our conduct, in the preaching of the gospel, or in the preaching of the gospel, or the ideologies that we find around, or the first doctrines that we encounter as we preach the gospel. He says, you quench it via what? The shield of faithfulness. So I said, last week and the week before, that Paul certainly takes his text from David and Saul. Saul chose traveling as David. Hallelujah. Much more from the warfare of the Old Testament. So men will throw jabs at you. Or life itself will throw jabs at you. It says you will quench it. Say, I quench it. What is the proof that you quenched it? You make progress still. It will begin with mockeries many times, then resentments, then persecution. But you will not respond in the flesh. So in the midst of opposition, it's time to yield more. The first thing is your loins girded. So it's time to put the word of God more on my lip, on my mind. Hallelujah. It's also time to yield more. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. To the preaching of the gospel. Look at the next thing he mentions. I'll look at that, then we'll begin to close. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ephesians 6 and then in verse 17. He says the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, helmet there, the word perikephalia. Perikephalia, the word peri, which means something that surrounds, that guards. There you have the word kephalia from the word kephale. K-E-P-H-A-L-I-A. Kephalia from kephale. K-E-P-H-A-L-E. And kephale is used for head. So something that guards your head, helmet. Head, you use that when it says Christ is the head of church. Anytime you see that word head of the body, it's the word kephali that is used. Are we together? Are we together? So when you have helmet, it means peri kephalia. You see that in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and then in verse 12. Romans 13 verse 12. He says in verse 12, let us walk honestly. Verse 12 rather. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. The armor of light. So we see the word armor again occurring here. So he calls it light in this text. Did you see that? Now look at this. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, or in drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife, not in envy. That is, our weapon is not flesh. Did you see that? Our war is not by the arms of the flesh. Verse 14. He says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the armor refers to Christ himself. The armor refers to Christ himself. He says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. So it got me from the flesh. That word armor again occurs in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then in verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then in verse 8. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Did you see that? Observe, before he says breastplate of righteousness, here he says breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, what? The hope of salvation. What is the word hope? Helpis soteria. Helpis means assurance. So your helmet is the assurance that you have found in the salvation of Christ. The helmet of the believer through life. Hallelujah. The helmet of the believer, as he journeys in the course of the ministry, he says, is the assurance. Hallelujah. Look at this. Your head is safe. How is your head safe? By the assurance that is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and then in verse 7. He says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the left and on the right rather, and on the left. The armor of righteousness, who you are in Christ, and what you have been called to do in Christ. See, I wear what I am in Christ, and I put on what I have been called to do in Christ. Say, I put on who I am in Christ. Say, every day, every week, every month, I put on who I am in Christ, and I put on what I have been called to do in Christ. He says the armor of righteousness, by the right, by the left. Hallelujah. It means you are fully kit, fully kitted, fully armed, ever ready, battle ready, ever dogged, ever stable. Are we together? You are gallant. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Combatant ready. Amen. Amen. That's it. Helmet. Vision for mission. The vision assurance of the things that have been made available in Christ Jesus. Assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation amidst persecution. Assurance of salvation as you let go your desires, you put them in check. Assurance of salvation in the midst of contrary teachings, in the midst of false doctrines. Hallelujah. What is received already becomes what you see. Hallelujah. Becomes what you see. Then he says, the sword of the Spirit also. The sword of the Spirit also. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So let's go over some things before we close. Amen. Amen. It means, I put this in my note. That means that God, I said, so God is always found in the believing one today. God is always found in the new creation man today. Hallelujah. And by the activity of the Spirit through the believer, God is found. What does it mean to me, church? It means when I am faithful, when I am dogged, I hang in there, in my pastor's words. I hang in there, in Kennedy's words. Hallelujah. When I stay consistent, trusting, believing, faithful, what am I doing? I am demonstrating that God is at work in me and through me. I am demonstrating that God is at work in me through me. So I put in my note. I said, God is at work in the child of God, keeping him strong, steady, and productive in the faith. God is at work keeping him what? Strong. Say, I am strong. Say it loud and clear. Say, I am strong. I am steady. Never productive. Look at this. Keeping him consistent. Faithful. And fruitful. In the faith. God is at work in the church of God, keeping him strong, steady, and productive in the faith, keeping him consistent, faithful, fruitful in the faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amidst personal desires or dreams or goals, amidst ideologies of the world that seeks to replace God in the heart of men. Amidst false doctrines, by the wrong handling of the books of the Bible, and amidst afflictions and persecutions for the faith. I told you before, number one, God knows them. Number two, he has met, or he wants me to be formed an intelligence. Remember, I rearranged that. Number three, in that intelligence, I will see that he has made a supply of the Spirit available. And number four, by the supply of the Spirit that is at work, he works in me to prevail. He works in me to prevail. So I said many times, it is what this age, circumstance, environment presents to me as what I can become alternatively to the gospel man. That's what I said. The minister of the gospel that becomes a hindrance to the will of God. Many times it's what the age, the circumstance, environment, mates, peers, friends, colleagues presents to me as what I can become alternatively to the minister of the gospel. Many times it's from such places or sources that hindrance to the gospel comes. I must guard my mind. I must be contented with what Christ has done in me and what Christ is doing in me today. I hope I have your attention, church. For example, with the Old Testament narratives and people, individuals like Solomon was led astray through desires. Esau led astray through desires. Samson led astray through desires. Jonathan affected through desires. In the case of Jonathan, he was an inseparable closeness to family that destroyed him. Lot's wife, destroyed by desires. In New Testament books, we see Judas. Well, we also see Demas. I put in the bracket Lot too, but I wanted to explain something, but I won't explain it now, so you can blot Lot out. Hallelujah. But look at this. In Matthew chapter 4, in the temptations, we see Satan brings the imageries of what should have become. He puts you on the mountain and he shows you things. In what seems like a daily activity, he sets you at a place where you can see. He puts you on the mountain of the social media. Facebook, Instagram. He puts you on that mountain so you lose God. you are careful. News media for contrary information, discouraging informations. Newspapers, it sets you on the internet. Status, WhatsApp status. I must be contented, with the plans of the Father. Is it clear, church? You will come across oppositions to the faith. Amen? Oppositions to the faith, or for the faith. From friends, from families, from the world. Words, actions, withdrawals, attacks, tantrums, mockeries. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus mentioned the sword. See, I brought sword. We might see that shortly. So you will come across oppositions for the faith. I put this in a bracket. I said, that is not disciplined by your pastor. Because sometimes you're being disciplined from being stupid. But it's okay to be opposed for the Lord. It's okay to be opposed for the Lord. And the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord is with me. Say it again. Say, the Lord is with me. And the Lord is with us. So we do not fight a warfare alone, no. Just like the Old Testament, I says, Jehovah is in the warfare with his church, with his people, with his nation. He is found in the midst of the world. He is there, hallelujah. Warring together with us. He began the war and recruited us, hallelujah. So he is the first soldier, the first battleman. Are we together, church? We met him there. So he walks with us. It becomes a privilege to war alongside with the Lord. It becomes a privilege to be opposed for the gospel. It becomes a privilege to put my desires in check so I can further his cause. Oh, it becomes a privilege. It is not inconvenient. Even when it seems inconvenient, hallelujah, it is his love at work in me. The faithfulness of the believer is therefore supernatural. The believer's temperance, is therefore supernatural. The believer's consistency and persistency is therefore supernatural. The fruit bearing, the consistent fruit bearing, is of a supernatural nature, a supernatural exploit. I can't seem to explore everything here. So in Ephesians 6 verse 10, he says, I will take advantage of the power of God. Where is that power? He says in verse 19 of Ephesians 1, how we started this series, or this edition. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the power will not come, note this, because you have prayed or fasted. Rather, prayer or fasting makes it available, makes the power available. The power does not come, hallelujah, because you pray and fast. The new birth through Christ Jesus, the new birth through the resurrection in Christ Jesus supplied the power. Are we together, church? So the power is effective because God gave us power. When we pray, what we are doing is that we are laying hold of what God has made available to us and putting to use. Our prayer uses the power which Christ gave us through the resurrection in him. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 4. 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 4. He says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in honor and sanctification, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as of Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond to defraud his brother. So he mentions to stay away. In verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. So he says, our conduct, that the believer must abstain from fornication. Then he says, you possess your vessel without to do with your body. That means the believer has power to put his body in check. The believer has power to put his emotions, our emotions, in check. It is not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond to defraud his brother. So the believer has the power of integrity. Integrity. The believer has the power to have a good strength of character. Integrity. Someone say integrity. Someone say integrity. Integrity in money matters. Integrity in material things. You are given one, you report the one. You are given 10, and then you don't report 9, you report the 10. You were handed 20, then mistakenly, we thought we gave you 15, but we gave you 20, and then you returned 5. Integrity. Integrity. The believer has that inherent power to be honest in his living, in his character, to glorify God. He says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given us the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Then he says, love work. These are characters in the resurrection. Habits in the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ therefore comes with his habits. At salvation, I therefore received new habits, new desires, new passions, a new strength, a new motive, a new vision, a new cause for living. Hallelujah. The believer has been enabled to please the Father, for this is the will of God. The believer has been, say, I have been enabled to please the Father. I please the Father. So the believer's authority is to glorify God and Him. He says to not defraud. He mentions the Holy Spirit in verse 8. So the same power, hallelujah, that raises the believer from the dead enables the believer to live right today. We've explained that earlier. Hallelujah. So he says, the believer is to take advantage. Time is fast spent. The believer is to take advantage, hallelujah, of God's power. Which power? The power in him. Say, I take advantage of the power of God in me. Ephesians 3:20 explains the power. Ephesians 1 to verse 6 explains the believer's realities, his identity, his walk, and then his stand. Our identification in Christ. And what we do amongst men based on our identification in Christ. He also explains our stand against the works of Satan, howbeit amongst men. So the armor of God is for standing for the gospel. We have explored that. It's for service to serve Christ. The armor of God, hallelujah, is for situations that will want to distract you, to put you under. The situations that will want to lure you away from the truth of God that is in the gospel. Hallelujah. He says you have a supply of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul spoke about the Christian walk. In verse 11 and 12, he spoke about ministry. So every believer in his walk in Christ has the ministry of Christ. You therefore cannot be a disciple of Christ without the ministry of Christ, the preaching of the gospel. There is no disciple of Christ without the preaching of the gospel. Without discipling people. If you are not involved in discipling people in the church, you are not living like a disciple. It's simple. Are we together? We just can't doubt your salvation. But you are not very useful yet to God. Are we together? Are we together? How? In Ephesians 6 verse 10, so it says, keep strong. It says, keep on the armor. Keep putting on the armor. It says, keep standing. A present continuous time. In other words, there's a putting on to do. Galatians 3 and 27 says to walk in the will of God. This is how you walk in the will of God. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 54 talks about that putting on. So he says the same way we go, put on the new body. The new body. He says we put on Christ today in our conduct. Continually, not once. The armor of God is a continual thing. That means development in the faith. I'm making progress in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is a result of alertness. Armor. Keep pushing on. Alertness. You can't afford to be careless. I guard my loins with the truth. Hallelujah. Admonishes and instructs me on the kind of exposure I give to my mind. What I read, what I watch, what I listen to, what I consume. The conversation I attend to. Are conversations to ignore. There are conversations to ignore. Guarding my mind. Hallelujah. My loins. Hallelujah. My mind with the truth of the gospel also implies my attitude to Christian meetings. We cannot force you to be in church services. That means you are not growing. We just can't doubt your salvation. Because you have not learned to put God's word first. Are we together, church? In wearing or in putting on the armor of God, it speaks of priority to the world. There cannot be a teaching service and you are at the cinema. We just can't doubt your salvation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There can't be a teaching service and you are out doing something else. A teaching service. It's Thursday evening. It's Sunday morning. It's Wednesday cell meeting. And you are somewhere else. Are we together? Without permission. Without accountability. Without permission. All fine. There might be some things you need to attend to. Based on something compulsory. And then your leader, the church, whosoever is, has been informed. Necessary quarters has been informed. And you have received permissions to go out. But nothing from you. No permission, nothing. You just stray away. Hallelujah. Without placing priority on the teaching meeting. Services where the knowledge of God is being given. You are acting like you are not born again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Knowing fully well that the one who is properly taught is much more fit. Hallelujah. He says your feet short. So one of the ways to be alert as a believer is also your readiness to preach. I put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. It's a continual thing. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 5, it speaks of a soldier that must not be entangled, must not be distracted. Hallelujah. So you observe evangelism and soul winning is also an armor. That's why you're going to observe people who are not involved in evangelism and soul winning in the church. You observe that they are not usually very useful to God. They are not usually useful to God. Those are not involved in evangelism and soul winning in the church. They are not usually useful to God at all, whether in the church or outside the church premises. Are we together, church? It's an armor. Are we together? That's it. You also observe people who don't preach the gospel. Are we together? Fervently. You observe, you see that they don't live very serious Christian lives. You're going to observe that. Amen. Amen. I said it. So, no responsibility or duty of leading men to Christ or helping them to grow in the knowledge of God. Are we together? Is usually found in their lives. No such responsibility is usually found in their lives. Amen. I said amen. So, he says, the armor of God. The armor of God. Look at our text again. We look at this, then we close. Are we together? So he says, the helmet of salvation, and the what? The sword of the Spirit. The word machaira, is spelled M-A-C-H-A-I-R-E, machaira. or Machaire, something like that. M-A-C-H-A-I-R-E, the sword. And every time it is used, it is offensive. Sword. Hallelujah. In Matthew 26, put out those things. Matthew 26, verse 47, 51, 52, and 55. It was used for soldiers who came to arrest Jesus. The same scenario or account or narrative is found in Mark 14, 43, 47, and 48. Mark 4, 43, 47, 48. Luke's Gospel 21, verse 24. Luke 22, verse 36. 38, 49, 52. Literal sword. John 18, verse 10, 11. That was Jesus himself. Literal sword. Are we together? I didn't say Jesus held sword. I mean, in Jesus' words. Are we together? Are we together? Is that it? No. That was just an account. Are we together? When Jesus used the word sword was in Matthew 10, 34. Matthew 10, 34. And by the time you observe verse 35 to 38, you see the context. You do that work yourself. You observe it was talking based on opposition. Opposition, especially from family and relatives for the gospel. Say, think not that I have brought peace. I brought a sword. So what he was saying is that following me, hallelujah. I said hallelujah because in that context he was talking to his disciples. Following me, he says, is a sword. Is offensive. Following me is offensive. Following me is offensive. Following me is what? I hope that sinks. Offensive to the world. Offensive to people. And many times the world can be family. The world is an ideology in people's mind. It can be at work in family. It can be at work in colleagues, friends. Jesus' own friends called him mad. Hallelujah. When they saw him preaching. You know what's in that text? Are we together? Are we together? Following me is offensive. Look at this. A pastor and a church teaching and training you in the will and the ministry of the gospel as it ought to be, following such will be a sword too. Following your pastor, following your teachings, your teacher, following your church will be offensive. And there's a wisdom of God to handle every situation. Are we together? So he says, your following me is a sword, Matthew 10, 34 to 38. Definitely it's not referring to fighting people, but informing them of persecution and oppositions that follows following him. Hallelujah. As I follow Jesus, what follows me? Disciples. As I follow Jesus, what follows me? A proof that I'm following Jesus is that disciples are following me. A proof that I'm following Jesus is that signs and wonders will follow me. Are we together? Are we together? A proof that I'm following Jesus is popularity of Jesus. Jesus' popularity. He is being made popular and known. Follows me. But also, the unpleasant things that follow me as I follow Jesus is what? Is what? Persecutions and afflictions. And he says, you should not be shocked. Don't be shocked that you are being a good disciple. Hallelujah. So he speaks about those who will come to arrest him in Luke 22. He used the word swords. And observe when they came, in verse 50, he healed the man after Peter had wounded him. Jesus will not use swords, physical swords. So when he speaks of sword as the armor of Christ, he's not referring to physical sword. Something else is being explained. In John 18, Jesus describes his own weaponry, that they are not of the flesh, they are not natural. So the use of the word sword by Jesus has to do with the gospel. Hallelujah. Are we together? In Romans chapter 8 verse 35, it was used for persecution. Romans 13 verse 34, it was used for the discipline of your pastor. In Hebrews 4 verse 12, it was used for the ministry of the word in the heart of the unsaved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's offensive. Persecution. Discipline. In Revelation 6 verse 4. Revelation 13 verse 10 and 14. Again, is used for what is offensive. Hebrews 11, 34, 37. It was used for persecution. So he says, the sword of the Spirit. Which Spirit? We've seen that last week, right? The armor of the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 says, we have been sealed with the Spirit. Verse 3 says, blessedness of the Spirit. In Ephesians 2, 18, it says, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3:16 says there's a strength in the inner man by the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says to not grieve the Holy Spirit which He has given us. Ephesians 5:18 talks about singing in the Spirit. So when Ephesians 6:17 says the sword of the Spirit, I said last week, it will therefore be a sword of the Spirit within. He says, what is the sword of the Spirit within? Let's begin to close, church. Look at our text again. What is the sword of the Spirit within? Ephesians, are we together? Are we together? Ephesians chapter 6 and then in verse 17. The sword of the Spirit. Which is what? The word of God. So is it a physical sword? Is it a physical sword? Look at the emphasis around the word. He used the word for breastplate. He used the word for what? Helmet. Right? Right? He used the word for what? Preparation of your feet. Preaching the gospel. He used the word for what again? Guarding the loins. Right? Again, he uses the word for what? For the sword. You can't joke with the word. You can joke with it. You cannot joke with it. He says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now in this case, he uses the word rhema for the word, not logos. And rhema has to do with what is spoken, what is said. In other words, the sword of the Spirit will be the word of God on my lips. That is why he says it is offensive. Putting on the armor of God. The offensive part. Look at it. Look at this. Permit me to use this analogy. You cannot make progress by maintaining the use of maybe a helmet alone or even shield alone. You advance by the use of the word. You observe that. You observe that. By the use of the sword. You advance. That's how you charge ahead. That's how you clear ahead. Because the standing is not referring, is not referring to survive. Are we together? I just survive. I'm just hanging there. So I just sit there with the shield. Quench the dart. It says to make progress. So the stand includes to make progress. Making progress, use a sword. So it says, what, look at this. What charts your course? What propels your motion? Is the word of God on your lips. Then it says, praying. Hallelujah. Always. So the word of God in my lips, and as I pray, or the word of God in my lips as I pray, is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God on my lips, praying always. The word of God on my lips is an armor to stand. Preaching and praying, therefore, becomes how I exercise my authority. Preaching and what? Praying. So I say preaching and praying. Prayer is how I exercise the believer's authority. If you remove prayer from the believer's authority, the power of God in the believer becomes dormant. If you take away prayer, the abilities of God, what will that power do again? That power will guard him against desires. So the believer that does not pray can easily be lured away with his own what? Desires. It's simple. It's a formula. You get it? It's a formula. Lure away is equals to what? The believer's life minus what? So the devil goes for the prayer life. Movies goes for the prayer life. Sport goes for the prayer life. Whatever it is, making money is good, but the moment that is stopping him from the prayer life, he can now be led astray from God. There are things you don't joke with. So, but I need to make money. You make money as you pray and attend your service. Is it clear? Alongside with the prayer meetings and the teaching meetings and evangelism, you proceed with making money. But I need to take care of my family alongside with attending the teaching meetings and being in outreaches and attending prayer meetings. You take care of the family. Are we together? That is what we call a responsible believer. But I need to satisfy my job. You satisfy your job, and also back to back with what? Teaching meetings, back to back with Sunday morning meetings, back to back with cell meetings, back to back with prayer group meetings, back to back with what? Cell evangelism. Are we together? That's how to make progress. It's called wisdom for living. That's how to make progress. How can I do all this and still be in a prayer meeting? Then you are a chicken. You want to do with chicken? So you need to grow. Are we together? And you can grow from a chicken into a lion. That way it's possible. Grow. Am I sounding like what that we pray again? Are we together? Are we together? You can grow. You need to grow. Say, I grow. Look at this. The company of the saints, the church. That's why the church is there. The assembly of the saints to help you to grow. For example, you see other people doing the same things you are doing, and yet they are in church. Don't think when you see people in church on Monday, there's prayer group, on Tuesday, there's personal evangelism, Wednesday, there's cell meeting, Thursday, Bible study, Friday, prayer group meeting, Saturday, all morning to afternoon evangelism, and follow up, evening, workers meeting in church. Sunday morning, we are still here. And some of us will leave here again, quickly run out for follow up. Are we together? So don't think that when you see people living that way, they are jobless. No. They are growing. They are growing. Don't think they are jobless. So I say, you know, they are doing that because Oti ni bukata, no Oti ni okwe. Are we together? You are not a serious believer. I told you many times, when I think that because of this is why I can't serve the Lord again, we will now show you something who is in a worse condition and is serving the Lord. So he can judge you. So you don't have to get to the front of Jesus to be judged. You can already see your judgment right there. I lost somebody. That's why I stopped serving the Lord. We will now show you somebody else who lost more people than you did and is still serving. The moment I'm capitalizing on a condition, that it is because of that condition that I cannot receive the word properly and be discipled or get involved in ministry, I told you there is always somebody somewhere in that same condition doing what exactly you should be doing in the gospel. There's always somebody somewhere. And without even looking about, there's somebody in the church. Even in a condition that is even more severe than that one. So it is not negligence, it is responsibility. Are we together, church? Preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 2 14 talks about preaching. And you observe that the weapon of our warfare, which is not carnal but mighty through God, in 2 Corinthians 10 is preaching. You observe that the light of God that shines in the darkness in the heart of the unsaved is preaching. You observe that the triumphant, hallelujah, that we have been lifted into in Christ, are we together, is preaching. So preaching is offensive. Preaching is how you make progress. I'm praying. Both the word of God on your lips. I must therefore have the gospel on my lips. Did you hear me, church? It is an armor. The word of God on my lips always. Either because I'm praying. Are we together, church? Oh, glory. Or because I am preaching. I told someone, I said, don't stop preaching. In the city here. He told me about some things he was facing and some challenges and some things like that. I said, don't stop preaching. How they came, they took a venue and all of that. I said, don't stop preaching. I said, do you have a house? He said, yes. I said, why not have a meeting there? He said, hey, Mio Tiro, tell us. So what were you thinking? Hallelujah. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? We had meetings in my room for how many months? How many months? Over a year and some months, maybe. Preaching. The training stopped. Where do we have cells? Is it in your houses? Where do we have cells? Are we together? You must never stop preaching. If they collect your Bible, go and buy another one. Are we together? They collect your shoe, walk barefooted. Are we together? If they collect this shoe, there's another shoe. The preparation of your feet. That shoe is an internal readiness. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Nothing must stop your voice. Did you get it? Say, don't come here to preach again. Says who? You are not the one to tell us not to come and preach in this street again. You are not the one. 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 Do you think we are out here by our instruction? God has spoken. God has spoken. You are not the one to tell us not to preach. No. You are occupying the wrong seat. You are not the one to tell us not to preach on this street. This street. Are you the custodian of the souls of people? Are the general manager of the lifestyle of everyone? Are you the gateman of the yearnings of their ear? Or the entry of their heart? Please quit this place. Or you will quit. We will pray you out of that community. Can't tell us to not preach to your students. You can stop us from entering to your school. But at least you will not keep them tonight. And when they are closing and we engage them, you can't tell who are you? Are we together, church? So nothing must stop your voice. The preaching of the gospel and prayer. are a twin armor. A twin part of that armor by which we make progress. If you stop anything, don't stop preaching and don't stop praying. Is it clear, church? Preaching and praying. Preaching and praying. Preaching and prayers. Are we together, church? And the prayer, therefore, what's the prayer for? In Ephesians 6, I need to close here. In Ephesians chapter 6, what's the prayer for? Prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Did you see that? Which Spirit? The Spirit within. The sword of the Spirit within. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So any kingdom prayer that focuses primarily on asking for things will lead you to idol worship. You will begin to worship those things. Prayer for the believer is an armor for the furtherance of the gospel. It's an armor for the believer to walk in God's plans and purposes on the earth. So you're going to observe, by the time we take a study, prayer. One of the things we're going to see ahead now is that the prayers of Paul and the apostles for the church, you observe that all of their prayers are doctrinal. One major thing about those prayers is that you observe that you can actually teach those prayers as a message. Did you notice that? You can teach those prayers as a message. They are all doctrinal. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11. In 1 Thessalonians also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 1 rather, verse 2 to 5. And 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3, verse 11 and 12. In Philemon verse 6, 4 to 6 actually, you find all of those prayers. Even the writer of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, verse 18 to 20. All are doctrinal. Are we together? Paul's prayer in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 4, doctrinal. Doctrinal statements. All are about the word of God, the will of God, the mission of God in the gospel of Christ Jesus. So I take a stand, hallelujah, play for miracles, when I put the gospel in my mouth. The gospel in my mouth is the word of God, and I pray in the spirit. I pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, verse 4, verse 14. He says, edifieth himself. So it's an armor, hallelujah. Armor by which you stand. That word edify means to stand. He says, he that prays in an unknown tongue, edifieth himself. I stand. Say, I stand. As I pray in the Spirit, learn to lock up and pray. Just lock up. Lie on the ground. Be there for 1 hour. Be there for 2 hours. Just lock up and pray. Be there for 3-4 hours. If you are done praying, just sit down there. Sit down there. Sit down there. Sit down there. Pick on the Bible and read. Then let it bring you, lead you back into prayer. Go another 2 hours. When you feel tired, then decide to intensify. Don't intensify. That is how the believer makes progress. We live in a world that is not our own. So you need a wisdom. And that is the instruction. Jude 24, he says, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I am building myself in the world of the most holy faith. I'm building myself. That means that is a way to stand. It's offensive. Praying in the Spirit it strengthens the believer in his pursuit of preaching and standing for the gospel. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So the believer's authority as a close is not for personal exploit. personal enjoyment is for the gospel of Christ. Praying in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Makes preaching effective. When you pray and you go to preach, you are fresh.
Hallelujah.
What you say will be fresh. Even if what you said is what I've been saying. When you pray, because you want to go and preach God's word, before you set out, not even as you are going, before you set out, what you say will be like fresh breath. It will have more results than your theology.
Prayer is an armor that I put on always also.
I pray in the Spirit always. Say, I pray in the Spirit always. So there is nothing called excess prayer. Prayer can never be excess. There's nothing like over-prayed. If there's nothing like over-alert, if there's nothing like over-ready, if there's nothing like over-edified, if there's nothing like over-strengthened,
are we together? Are we together?
If there's nothing like over-stand, then there's nothing like what? You can't over-pray. If you pray 5 hours, you need to pray more. If you go 10 hours, you need to pray more. When we have a prayer conference and we go 24 hour stretch, 26 hours, 28 hours, maybe 30 hours this year.
Hallelujah.
You cannot over pray.
Are we together, church?
Jesus prayed always, Paul prayed always, God prayed too. Peter was found praying. Acts 4, give ourselves to. So prayer is what you give yourself, and the ministry of the word, prayer and preaching.
Prayer and preaching is an almighty power.
Hallelujah.
Prayer and preaching of the gospel is a culture that Jesus handed to the church.
Not comedies, gimmicks, strategies, philanthropy, events, comedy. Let's give money to the poor. Let's repair the road. Let's quit that rubbish. Let's quit that rubbish. The mission of Christ is to preach the gospel. When we do that, it is for the world and not for the gospel.
We preach the gospel and we pray.
Ephesians 6:18, it says, for the saints, observe and pray for someone else. Are we together? You observe that. All the prayers of Paul, none was the man praying for himself. Paul was praying for the church or asking them to pray. Did you see that? So his offense, did you see that? Is extended out. Did you observe that?
The offense.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12, verse 11 and 12, continue instant. In the room, at night, in the day, on transport, taking a walk. So there is the authority of the believer to use every time of the day, and it's prayer. E.W. Kenyon said, the man in Christ does not have the power of failure, because the power of God resides in him. E.W. Kenyon said that the man in Christ does not have a faith problem. He has the faith of God. Faith works in him the same way it works with God. That's what E.W. Kenyon said. And I believe him. I have a reason to. But he said that the believer can have a prayer failure. Because the prayer failure is a revelation failure. Revelation failure because you didn't have revelation, or you just have mental absence. The prayer failure is the main challenge of the believer. So I put it on more. Are we together? I pray in and outside prayer groups, in and outside service, in and outside meetings. We are instructed to pray. Prayer is how I use my authority as I preach the gospel. Prayer and preaching goes hand in hand, hand in hand, hand in hand. Hallelujah. Prayer and preaching for all the believers in the church. Are we together? Are we together? So you observe that in a church, a serious church, you will not have a prayer department. You observe that. What other department will you not have? Evangelism. Prayer and preaching. Did you see that? Did you see that? There's no prayer department in our church. There's no evangelism department in our church. There shouldn't be in any church. Prayer is a work of everybody. Evangelism is a work of everybody. Bible study too. Are we together? Prayer makes you bold, makes you have utterance. Prayer makes you to have a strong grip and control of your ministry and influence in preaching and teaching. Prayer opened doors. Prayer closed other doors that ought not to open. And prayer opened doors that ought not to be closed. Prayer works miracles. Prayer goes to your future and push things to now. Prayer goes to the past and repairs things. Prayer brings mountain and makes it low. Prayer dries grounds that ought to be dried. Dries up rivers and creates ways. Prayer can dig into mountains and create paths through. Prayer can make a dry place, a wilderness, be full of water and fruitful. Prayer can restore a seed's validity and viability. Prayer can affect human bodies and make them perform stronger. Hallelujah. Prayer can heighten the strength of a natural body of a man. Prayer can quench the fiery darts, hallelujah, of the wicked. Prayer undo the work of darkness. Prayer will fulfill the word of God, the will of God. Prayer will establish men in the gospel. Prayer will open their hearts to see what God wants them to see. Perhaps you have people you are teaching and training, discipling. Or you have people that are yet to be established in the faith, and you're trusting God to have them established. Prayer is the way. Prayer gives you strong eyes. When you pray, it gives you fresh breath. Fresh breath in your teachings, your preachings, your sermons. Prayer makes your follow-up supernatural. Prayer makes your ministry supernatural. It changes the atmospheres of places and grounds. One thing we're going to do as we increase in our cell walks through prayer in the city is that we are praying to have cells that pray. Are we together? We are praying for those cells. And in those cells, we are going to be having a major activity of what? Prayer. So prayer leads to prayer. Are we together? Prayer births a praying people. Imagine we have like 50 different cell locations within the city alone. 100 cells within the city. Hallelujah. Of 30 people within the city. 200 cells, 500 cells within the city. 1,000 cells within the city.
Hallelujah. Of 20 people or 50 people within the city. And we set up a 1 hour prayer meeting every day in the cells. How many hours are we generating? For 1,000 cells? 1 hour? How many hours is that? Is that 1,000 hours? In different locations. I want this city open up for the gospel. Yala yai. I want this city open up for the gospel. Are we together? In different locations. We have 10,000 cells in the nation. 10,000 cells in the nation. 100,000 cells in the nation. Then we set up a prayer meeting. Let's pray 1 hour every day in the cells. 100,000 hours daily. I want the nation open up and sipping the waters of the gospel. So prayer is the way. Pastoral prayer, corporate prayer. You also don't come into church when you observe that the prayer session of the service will be done. You are a fool. Be there to pray with them. The work we have been called to do is a work that is impossible without prayer. Prayer and preaching. So are you preaching, church? Add prayer to your preaching. Fervent prayer, heartfelt prayer. Morning, wake up to pray. In the afternoon, pray. In the evening, pray. You observe in our church, we're very dynamic. We have static and consistent prayer times and schedules through the week that we have been running for the past 2, 3, 4 years. Every week, it doesn't bend. But we also have, you know, a flow, a dynamics to it. Just say, okay, this whole week, next 2 weeks, let's do 6 hours every day. Send your reports. Are we together? We say, okay, this service, we're praying throughout. Okay, that service, we're having 2 prayer sessions. We try as much as possible to increase our prayer works by all means. If anything must increase, prayer must increase. I told you as a church, we're coming to a point where we pray 24 hours every day. That's where we're going. Every day, 24 hours. In other words, there's a member of the church or a group of the church somewhere in the country praying every minute of the day. There is a group or a person in our church praying somewhere. So we set up that chain. That's where we're going. Every day. And it doesn't affect prayer meetings, which are different. Prayer before service are different. Prayer conferences. No. Prayer. It tells you today, if the word of God has reached you, what brought it to you is the prayer of somebody. For it to go somewhere else, your prayer must be involved. Let's be on our feet. And let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. I take advantage of the authority that is found in Christ Jesus. I walk in dominion. I walk in the grace of God. I walk in dominion. I walk in the grace of God. Above personal desires, the midst of afflictions, the midst of ideologies and false doctrines, I maintain my stand
As I preach and I pray, I stay faithful. I put on the helmet of salvation. What assurance in Jesus. I put on the helmet of righteousness. Who I am in Christ, what I've been called to do. I got my lungs about with the truth of the gospel. I'm always alive in the name of Jesus. I declare that in the name of Jesus, I'm always alive. I have the sword of the Spirit. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm committed to the preaching of the gospel. I'm committed to the preaching of the gospel.